Mexican or Italian? Some may say it's a simple decision. Others may say it's rocket science. How many decisions do you think that you make a day? On average, an adult makes 35,000 decisions per day, while a child only makes 3,000. We have all struggled with indecision at one point or another in our lives, but it's our jobs as human beings to work through this burden. Hamlet cannot decide what to do, how to kill, or who to kill. In the beginning of the play, he is sent on a mission by his recently deceased father, who comes to him as a ghost and insists that he kill King Claudius and avenge his death. Hamlet finds himself standing over his father's murderer with a sword prepared to attack when he decides to put the sword away. He can't execute his plan, per usual.
In Act 3 of Shakespeare's Hamlet, the protagonist struggles with one of the most significant instances of indecision within literature. Hamlet states, "Now might I do it, now he is a-praying, and now I'll do it." He draws his sword. "And so he goes to heaven, and so am I, revenged," clearly making the decision that he will kill his uncle, the new king. Soon after making this vital decision, he changes his mind, saying, "When is he fit and seasoned for his passage? No. Up, sword, and know thou a more horrid hint." He sheathes his sword. His mind is quickly changing, constantly weighing different consequences and outcomes.
If there's one thing that's represented in Hamlet, it's indecision. He's told, gets the evidence, says he's going to do it, and then doesn't. Time and time again, he is indecisive over what to do. Indecision happens to absolutely everyone, even if it's not as extreme as the examples in Hamlet. We have spoken with lots of different people of different ages and backgrounds. They are talking about different times that they have had to make different decisions, big or small. Doctors, for example, have to make tough decisions all the time because people's lives are in their hands. Even young kids have indecision. Although it's not quite like a doctor has, we make decisions every day, even though some are more impactful than others. We want to get to the bottom of it all, and you can get there with us.
First, we took our interview to our head of upper school, Mr. Barton. We figured he would be a great person to interview because of his military background and his love for Hamlet. Mr. Barton, how did decision-making play into your role in the military?
In the military, you're making decisions all the time, but one of the things that's interesting is people think in the military that whoever is in charge of whatever just makes a decision, everybody jumps and runs out and does it. But it doesn't really work like that. There's a lot of consultation that happens between the guy in charge and the people that are working for him. And when it's done right, it goes back and forth several times. You know, the company commander, that's about 150 soldiers in a company. The company commander gets a mission. He talks to the sergeants and lieutenants and says, "Okay, this is, we're supposed to attack this hill. Let's talk about how to do it." And they come back with ideas, and he goes back and forth. And so there are times when split-second decisions have to be made, but usually the groundwork has been laid for all those before it ever happens.
Yeah. Okay. Would you say that being in the military has made your decision-making easier?
I think it's making it more organized. I don't know if it's easier. There are some decisions that are easy. You look and there's two or three ways you got to go, and one stands out. It's easy. So it's not really easier, but it's more organized. And I understand better than I think I would have if I hadn't been in the military how important it is to make decisions in a timely way. That there are some decisions that can wait, some that can't wait. And one of the things that drives an organization crazy is when a decision needs to be made and you're waiting on the boss to make the decision nobody knows what's going on. So I think my time in the military has helped me recognize that and recognize which ones have to happen now, which ones can wait.
Mm-hmm. And when Would you say that you're less indecisive because of the military?
Probably. It's funny because I was thinking about Hamlet when I saw your thing. Play. And it's funny because you really have, there's three people in Hamlet. There's Hamlet, and there's Laertes, and there's Fortinbras, who all lost their fathers, all have the kind of same sort of what do we do about this kind of thing. And Laertes is totally decisive, but mm-hmm. he's also a mess. Laertes would make a good Marine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, would just charge, right? So, but I do think that in the military, being indecisive is a real problem because while you're waiting, bad things could be happening. Mm-hmm. You know? And so I think probably does tend to tends more toward action than waiting.
Yeah, absolutely. What were some hard decisions you had to make on a daily basis?
Well, I don't know about daily basis, but so I was in the Army for 20 years and in war about 2 years, all that time. And so most of it is peacetime stuff. And the biggest decisions are what to do about people, and I had to put people in jail, and I had to, and I had to make decisions about whether that people were going to stay in the Army or, and get kicked out. And the harder decisions, though, really, were who was get promoted, because you couldn't promote everybody. And so you had to make decisions over who of these four sergeants at this level, which one of them was going to get the promotion to the next level. Yeah. And so those are the kind of toughest decisions that you, mm-hmm.
You're deserving of it.
Yeah, right. Trying to make those fine points there. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of the people that you said it's time for you to leave the military, that was a pretty easy decision.
Yeah.
It was pretty obvious that was the case.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of those were easy.
Mm-hmm.
So, in terms of what I did in Desert Storm and so forth, those were very calculated. The parts, the decisions I was involved in were very calculated, and mm-hmm. Sort of fell into the various categories. And so, after that was easy, but it wasn't a decision. Quandary.
Yeah.
After hearing what Mr. Barton had to say about indecision, I thought it would be cool to go home and ask my 3-year-old little brother similar questions and see what he had to say. Do you know what indecision is?
I don't know.
For example, do you choose to go to school or do you choose to go buy candy?
Buy candy. I already have candy right here.
Yeah, you do have candy right there. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your choosing process? How do you make a decision?
A decision is something that you choose.
Exactly.
While in the Grant household, we decided to interview Chip Grant, who practices medicine for a living. We wanted to see how indecision and decision-making affects him on a daily basis.
How does making a decision about a person's life differ from making a decision about going to lunch?
They're similar. Making a decision about what to do for a patient involves looking at the situation and weighing options and thinking about what is ultimately going to be the best outcome, which in some ways is how we make decisions about things like lunch. Decision-making when it comes to medicine is a bit different, though, because of the stakes that are involved. And so when I'm talking to patients or their families and we're trying to work through a problem and make a decision, we often talk about the risks, the benefits, and the alternatives. And that's a way of talking about problems and hopefully coming to decisions that's organized. So we start with the risks. Obviously, these are the things that can go wrong. These are the outcomes that nobody wants to see. And in my line of work, those things include, heart attack, strokes, death, bleeding, infection. So really bad things. but it's important to talk about that and to cover that. And I think that we also talk a lot about What's the likelihood of one of those things happening? And so, we'll talk about the odds of something or the probability or maybe the percentage, try to put it into terms that everyone can understand. Then we cover the benefits, and obviously this is the good stuff. This is the happy outcome. This is what we hope for. And so, again, we try to put that into some sort of put it into language that everyone can understand. Then we talk about the odds of that, or the percentage chance of getting this beneficial outcome. And then the last thing we talk about is what are the alternatives. So if I don't do this thing, if we make a decision not to do this thing, what are the other things that we can do? And then, of course, if we get into alternatives, then we have to sort of do the same risk benefit analysis. And so, that took a long time to explain. But the truth is that we are doing that in medicine all the time. And we do that with patients, but we also do that as practitioners when we're making decisions. So when I'm doing a procedure on a patient and I'm trying to decide what to do next, I'm often thinking, what are the risks of my option? What are the benefits, and are there alternatives? And so it's just this constant process we go through. And so to come back to the, idea of lunch, if you think about it, in some ways, we sort of make all decisions that way. We sort of think, if I go to, this sushi place, what are the risks that I'm going to get food poisoning? The benefit might be that they've got a really good, seared tuna or something. And the alternatives are we can go to Company Burger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Would you say that you're an indecisive person or a less indecisive person because you're a doctor?
Mm-mm. I'd say I'm a decisive person, and maybe that's part of why I became a doctor.
Oh, that makes sense. Great.
After listening to all of these interviews, what do you think? Are you an indecisive person? We challenge you to think about this the next time you have to make a decision. Thanks for listening.